get around to it at all because he's not going to be the president. We're going to have tax reform and real tax reform with President Ford the next 4 years. Then just one more thing. You know, today we celebrate Veterans Day. Next year we'll celebrate on the right day on November 11th, but today we're still celebrating a little in advance. But next year it'll be back on track after 3 or 4 years there off the track. That's one thing Congress did do that we agree with. They put Veterans Day back where it was. So I think it's fair to talk about our strength and our freedom very quickly, because I know some of you have been standing, and I didn't expect to be relieved here. And I really hate to have hecklers on our side leave, but there comes the time. I want to just talk to a few minutes to the mothers and grandmothers in this audience, and also the young men, because I see some young men. I don't see any in uniform. No young Americans are being drafted. No young Americans are fighting a war in some far-off place. And as I try to point out in our, I guess you call it a debate with Senator Mondale, that's a very strong reason to vote for President Ford. We are at peace in the world. We're respected by our friends, we're respected by our adversaries, and we're respected because we're strong. We're strong for the sake of peace. And I don't want to be number two in this world. I'm concerned about your children, your grandchildren. We're going to have peace, and we're going to have security, and we're going to have freedom because we're strong and we're the hope of the free world. And that's what it's all about. And so I say, if you have any doubt in your mind about President Ford, just look at his record in the area of defense, and you have a very vital interest in the Utica-Rome area with Griffiths Field nearby. You understand the importance of strength, and I just hope that if there's any doubt in your mind, you'll understand that as Carter wants to cut the defense budget $5 to $7 billion, last year he said $15 billion. His running mate, my friend Senator Mondale, votes against every defense weapon system, whether it's the B-1 bomber, the C-5A, or the Trident submarine, or whatever it is, he votes against it. He votes to cut the defense budget every time. We've been trying to figure out how many jobs he's cost Americans. Oh, he's all for more welfare programs. He wants more welfare programs and more spending. He doesn't mind voting to take your job away from you. You have to work in some defense-related industry. So I just suggest, if for no other reason, look at the nation, look at the world, look at the leader of the free world, and look at the leadership in the free world, and be thankful it's guided by President Ford, the leader of the greatest country on the face of the earth. So I think I'll go down and shake hands if I can, and just say to those who may have an interest in agriculture, I'm going to have a very important role to play in that come January. I've been on the committee in the House and the Senate some 16 years. I think I understand what farmers want. They want the government off their backs, and the government's getting off their backs. Small business wants the government off their backs, and we think we're getting government off their backs. But I would remind you time and time again, the Liberal Democrats control this Congress. George Meany has a great deal of influence on this ticket, the Carter-Mondale ticket. And I've said to my friends, I think organized labor ought to have a lot of strength because they represent a lot of people. But they shouldn't control both the Congress and the White House, and they have a virtual grip on the Congress now. And we ought to think about a balanced government. We ought to think about who's going to occupy the White House, who's going to be there to veto the excesses of the Liberal Democrats if President Ford is not there. So for all those reasons, I not only ask you to work this or to vote on November 2nd, but to go to work for President Ford this last week. New York is a tough state. It's a must state for us. Right now we're behind in the polls. We need your help. And I think the best choice for America and the free world is a man with experience, a man with demonstrated leadership, and that man is President Ford. Thank you very much. Come up and take some pictures of these fellows.
bunch of pictures taken, aerial taken right now, right here.
If you just let the senator have his picture taken up here for a moment, he'll come down and shake hands with you. Thank you very, very much.
We really plan to go into Albany, but the weather didn't permit that. We've got to make so many stops a day. We don't get any credit from the president, but it must go to her.
They'll be eating and waiting for us to arrive a little bit late. I first want to put in a plug for my good friend Jim Buckley, one of our outstanding senators. I know you're working hard for Jim Buckley. Of course, Don Mitchell, I think, has about 95% of the vote now and is trying to get the other 5%, and I want to put in a plug for him. To say, don't worry about me, because I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it, so spend all your time working for Jerry Ford. There's no way you can get rid of me now. If he's elected, I'm the vice president, and I guess wherever we promised to go next year. I guess we could come back next year if I'm elected. That might be a bigger event than tonight. Take just a minute or two to talk to the mothers in this audience and the young men and, grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers, too, because we are at peace in the world, and I really believe as Republicans that's one of the most important things we haven't stressed enough. We haven't stressed President Ford's leadership. We haven't stressed the fact for the first time in 10 years we've had real growth in our defense budget, and not just for the sake of spending your money for defense. We don't want to do that. We don't want fat and waste in the Pentagon budget. We are sort of concerned about peace, and we are at peace in the world, and young men are not being drafted. They can plan their education or plan their work or plan whatever they want to plan without being concerned about being called out of school or called from their job and shipped overseas to fight in some war that they never really understand. And just keep that in mind the next 7 days. No one is being fired at. And keep in mind what President Ford has done. And on the other hand, keep in mind what Governor Carter and Senator Mondale have said they might do. Governor Carter's talked about a $15 billion defense budget cut last year. He's talking about a $5 to $7 billion cut in the defense budget. If he's elected, Senator Mondale votes against every defense weapon system and votes for every cut in the defense budget. And I just suggest that if we want to remain strong, and strong just for one reason, that's for the sake of peace. And whether we like it or not, we're the leader of the free world. It's something that's been thrust upon us. And freedom-loving people everywhere in this world look to us for leadership. We have in the White House a man who's had 30 years' experience, 25 years in the Congress. He's been the vice president. He's the president of the United States. He has the experience. He has the leadership. And it's in our interest, yes, perhaps as Republicans, but also your Democrat friends and your independent friends, I think, are all concerned about peace. And we have it. We have it with President Ford. We ought to be proud of it. Steal Ed's thunder. I don't know what Ed's going to talk about, but I'll just take one more minute because we're running late and your dinner's getting cold and you've already paid for it. If you haven't, you will before you leave. I've already... So we've decided not to eat. I'm touched to be here, but probably not touched as deeply as you were. Say a word about taxes. Every time I think about taxes, I think about Jimmy Carter for some reason. You know, he came to New York and he was, I guess they had the coronation, and he became the candidate. And that night at his acceptance speech, he said, our national tax system is a disgrace. He forgot to mention that the Democrats controlled the Congress for 40 out of the past 44 years, and they controlled those committees in the House and in the Senate, as Al Perney knows and as Don Mitchell knows now. He said later on in an interview with Associated Press that Americans didn't want their taxes lowered. Anybody here didn't want their taxes lowered? We carry a doctor along with us just to examine people that hold up their hands. He also said that those in above the median income would probably pay higher taxes if he were elected president. Of course, he didn't know what the median income was at the time. He checked, found out it was about $14,000 for an American family. Well, that's not high income. That's middle income. President Ford would like to reduce your taxes. Then, of course, Governor Carter said, well, he meant $50,000, not $14,000. I just suggest he ought to tell us. I'm also reminded that after he was nominated, he rushed up to New York City. He'd gone back to Plains to get some more peanut butter, whatever he does down there. Anyway, to refuel. And he then rushed up to New York City to meet with a group of small businessmen, Henry Ford and some of the other small businessmen that belonged to that party. And McDonald's was busy that noon, so they went to Club 21. I've never been there, but I understand it's a nice little place where a lot of small businessmen eat lunch, and a lot of farmers go there for lunch, and they talk about their problems. Just average Americans like Jimmy Carter and Henry Ford and others, and they were all gathered there for lunch. And Jimmy said to these small businessmen, don't worry about any tax changes, because it'd probably take me a year anyway. So I just suggest there's a bit of hypocrisy there. And every time I think of the word loophole, I think of Jimmy Carter. I think that his tax bill in 1975 was $58,000. I assume most of you paid about $58,000 in taxes. No? Well, maybe not quite 58, maybe 8,000, maybe 10, maybe 5. Except he didn't pay $58,000. He took off $41,000-some for the investment tax credit. And he sent in a check for the difference, whatever it was, $17,000. I'm for the investment tax credit. I think it stimulates business and provides employment. But I don't like Governor Carter standing up before some audience and talking about the rich, talking about all the tax loopholes, without telling us what the loopholes are. So I just suggest he still has time. He still has a week. There may be time yet to find out what he means and what he stands for. So I would just leave with this one thought in mind. I've known President Ford for 16 years. He's an honest, decent, open, candid American. His integrity is unquestioned. His honesty is unquestioned. He said to me when he asked me to be his running mate, he wanted me to play a very important role in agriculture. I've been on the House Committee 8 years. I've been on the Senate Committee 8 years. I understand the problem of dairy farmers and other farmers. And I think I'll have a very important role to play in this next administration. But the real important thing, as I started when I walked into this room, is to remember one thing when you go home tonight. You're not going to turn on your television. You're not going to receive any body counts in Vietnam, 7 killed, 50 killed, 100 killed. You're not going to read where someone, Herkimer or somewhere else, will be brought home for memorial service next week. You're not going to read about some young man who's had to leave school to go off or leave his job to go off and join the Army. You're not going to see a lot of uniforms as you leave home tonight or tomorrow up and down the street. And that's great. And that's good. And this is Veterans Day, and it's fair to talk about peace and strength in America. That's what it's all about. We're the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're great because we're strong. We're great because we have strong moral leadership in the White House. And I just say it's in our interest and in the interest of all Americans to keep a man with experience and with demonstrated leadership, President Ford. Thank you very much.
About it. Vice President of the United States.
Running mates, fellow candidates, one of the first fellows I met who would say something else.
Come down as we came up here. And he talked about my service in World War II, and I did that while I was in Italy. I want my Italian-American friends to know I was there, and I was proud to be there, and I was fighting for freedom. So my life changed in Italy, and you can change it again next week. You know. But don't worry about me, because I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. There's no way. There's no way I can lose if he wins. So I just spent all the time for the top man and the top banana, I guess, whatever Dole's making these days. But pineapple, that's right. Well, I drink a lot of that pineapple juice. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. And as I have said on at least one other occasion, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. So that's, right. Right. It is bad, and don't eat it before the 2nd of November. The price of peanut butter is going to go down right after the election. Be a lot of it on hand, and it'll be crunchy and lumpy, just like Carter's programs. But in any event, I thought I might talk to you just about a couple of things. First, about the importance of a free America and a strong America. Today is Veterans Day. It really ought to be on November 11, and next year we start celebrating it on the right day, but still this year it's celebrated today. At least some take a federal holiday and others take a holiday. But there are a number of young men in this audience, and certainly some mothers and grandmothers and others who really appreciate the fact that we're free. And I know unemployment's very high, and I regret that, but as I said in the last place we visited in Herkimer, it was a good visit. It's in New York. If you ever want to go to Herkimer, I know how to get there. I don't know how to get there from here, but I know how to get there from Herkimer. But as I said in Herkimer, when you go home tonight, if I ever finish talking, and you get turn on the late news, and sometimes we take a lot for granted in this country because we are the greatest country on the face of the earth. You turn on your television set, and nobody's there to give you the body count of how many young Americans were killed somewhere. Nobody's telling you how many Americans were drafted this week. No one's suggesting that in this community someone's coming home for memorial service next week or someone's body, or that some young man has had to leave his job or stop his education to go off and fight in some far-off country where we never really knew what the problem was or how to get in or how to get out. And I think we take a lot of that for granted. You know, we keep talking about all the problems in America, and we have a lot of problems in America. But I kind of wonder sometimes why all the cry for a change? What's so wrong with having peace in the world under President Ford? I like it. I like it. And what's so wrong with being respected by your friends and adversaries alike overseas, where they know our strength, and they know our limits, and they know that we're strong for only one reason, not because we have any aggressive acts or any aggressive tendencies in mind, because we want to preserve the peace. And oh, how many nations yearn and how many millions of people in this world yearn for freedom, that many of us just take for granted and really don't appreciate the fact that we have a lot going for us, and we are living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And so I say to Governor Carter and all those others who point their finger at President Ford and say, you lack compassion and you lack leadership, you know, it's not a bad record. It's not a bad record. And I say that particularly to the mothers and the grandmothers and the young men in the audience. And I guess we sort of just say, as I say, take it for granted. And so we're thinking about next Tuesday and about calling your friends and your neighbors, Democrats, yes, and Republicans, yes, and independents, because peace is not a partisan matter. It's a matter that concerns all of us. And I just hope that it's appropriate to reflect on that. I think it's going to be the real factor in the minds of many people between now and next Tuesday. The undecided vote is high among women, and I think American women want to know more about someone's plans for peace and someone's plans for America. And if we stop to take a look, and I don't suggest we spend your money in defense or any other thing unless we can eliminate the waste, but if we look at what Governor Carter proposes, $15 billion in cuts last year, $5 to $7 billion this year, if we look at Senator Mondale's record on defense, probably the worst record in the Senate of the United States, and we think about our strength and our freedom, and then we think about the jobs for peace that these defense appropriations create, again, not just for the sake of jobs, but jobs for the sake of peace. And I'd rather be strong, and I'd rather have men and women working in defense-related industries than someone trying to devise some new welfare scheme or some other way to put the government in the business of putting people to work. And so I just say, reflect on that, if you will. And let me also mention, I thought in the last debate, Governor Carter might respond to some of the constitutional amendment questions, but he ducked. He said, in effect, that none of those matters discussed in that debate even deserved consideration. He said he wouldn't support anything, which means you wouldn't support an amendment for prayer in school. I think that's fairly important. Anything wrong with having prayer in school? No. I think he failed to focus on the abortion question. He's got several positions on that. He says he's personally against it, but he said it wasn't worthy of consideration of an amendment. The same with a balanced budget. He wouldn't consider that as worthy of an amendment. He wouldn't clutter up the Constitution with something like that, and there were about two or three others. But he sort of wiped those off the board, dismissed those with a very short answer, and really didn't respond to the question at all. But it's not enough to criticize Governor Carter, because we have problems, and we're concerned about those problems, and I want to talk just one more minute, and I know we're late because it was more than 14 miles to Herkimer. We found out it was 30 miles to Herkimer. And that's tax reform. You know, Governor Carter said when he was nominated and a very good acceptance speech, if you like that philosophy. He said our national tax system was a disgrace, and I listened with interest to that because there are a lot of things wrong with our tax system. He didn't tell you that the liberals in the Congress have controlled the committees for 40 out of 44 years, and they write all these tax laws. But he said it was a disgrace. And I think many people agree, and he went on to say about the rich got all the benefits, and they escape the taxes, and they escape everything else. And then about a week later, he went to New York City. And he had a meeting there with some of the small businessmen of America, Henry Ford and other little businessmen. Understand McDonald's was closed. They went to a little club where little businessmen meet, Club 21. I've never been there, but I guess it's where all the small businessmen hang out. And they talked about the terrible tax system, and Governor Carter said, don't worry, Henry. That's Henry Ford. We're not going to do anything for a year. So he sort of put those small businessmen at ease, and I know they're very concerned because they are small businessmen, and they're all in that party, you understand. All the big businessmen are in our party, and all the little businessmen are in their party, and they represent the average American. So when Governor Carter stands up and talks about tax reform, he's talking to the, quote, average, end quote, American. And so when he had his interview with the Associated Press, he said he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered? I can't see too well, but we always have a doctor with us, and we'll get to you as quickly as we can if somebody thinks you want them lowered. That was the investment tax credit. Very legal, totally legitimate. Nobody quarrels with that. But I think it's a bit of hypocrisy when he stands before these, quote, average Americans talking about the poor and about the tax system being a disgrace. I just want him to tell us where he would make changes. He also talked about taxing. He said everything but the church itself ought to be taxed. What about church schools and church hospitals and senior citizens' home and orphanages? He's going to tax those? He hasn't told us. He just denies everything. He denies everything. He says it, then he denies it. And I guess we can't really hope for much else in a week. Only a week left. I think he'd do a great service to America to stand up and say, well, I've had three positions on this and three or four on this and two or three on this and five or six on this. I'm going to give you my final offer. I'm going to give you my final offer before the election. I want to be president very badly, so badly I can taste it. So badly I've been willing to shade my opinions and shade my policies to suit the audiences. But now I want to level with the American people. This is my final offer. This is my final position. Take it or leave it. I think it'd be a great thing for America. Of course, we'd all leave it, but it'd be a great thing for America. And so I just believe that in these final few days we ought to take really a hard look at President Ford and a hard look at Governor Carter. Look at his record as governor in Georgia, where he made all those outstanding claims, and you can't find anybody in Georgia that understands what he's talking about. How he reduced all these agencies, now he saved all this money, and now he didn't advocate any new taxes. He did. He tried to lower the personal exemption. It was blocked by the legislature, but he advocated it. And more money was spent for the bureaucracy, and more people were hired, and tax collections did go up in the state of Georgia. And so I just suggest that it's a very critical decision you have to make. And I would guess that most people here probably made a decision, but there may be some undecided in the room. I hope there's some Democrats in this audience. I trust there's some independents in this audience, because it's a very, very important election. And so I really appreciate the chance to say hello and hope to have a chance to shake hands and visit. But keep in mind, as I started, the fact that we're at peace. Keep in mind the fact that we have a great president. He has the experience, and he has the leadership, and his name is Ford. some of you, and I know some of you, and I recognize the name, of course. Some of you are concerned about Eastern Europe, and you should be concerned about Eastern Europe. You ought to be concerned about what Governor Carter said about the communists in Italy. You ought to be concerned about the cap we try to make of President Ford's slight mistake insofar as Eastern Europe is concerned, because President Ford has a record, as Joe McDade knows, of strong support for Eastern Europe. And I think most people understand that. President Ford understands that. He understands that we're the best hope for freedom everywhere, and we're the best hope as long as we remain strong. So I say a week from Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, be a week from the night if I don't stop, but a week from tomorrow, we've got 7 days to do it. And if you'll work 7 days for Jerry Ford, he'll work 4 more years for America. Thank you very much.